The Donald Trump event in Dallas last night was nothing if not spectacle, and we know you've already heard tons of coverage of it. I mean, how could you have missed it, right? But there was one line that seemed to go right over the heads of much of the audience and producers picking the sound bites, too. Which is too bad, because as the Sunday morning talking heads furrow their brows to explain how Donald Trump is winning, as he puts it, as political analysts twist and contort to account for the Trump effect, if you've been wondering how this is possible, well, the candidate himself last night absolutely nailed it.
You know, on television, on Fox and CNN, they call it all Trump all the time. Can you believe it? All Trump all the time. And by the way, their ratings are through the roof. If they weren't, they wouldn't put me on. I'll be honest with you. It's a very simple formula in entertainment and television. If you get good ratings, and these aren't good, these are monster, then you're going to be on all the time, even if you have nothing to say.
Even if you have nothing to say. Now, that's candor, folks. It may also be an issue for American politics. Matthew Eshbaugh-Soha is professor and chair of the University of North Texas Political Science Department. Of course, there's a debate on Wednesday on CNN. Professor, do you think it's accurate what Trump was describing there, this weird incestuous relationship between TV and presidential politics?
Absolutely. I mean, polling drives a lot of the early media attention. If you rise in the polls, you're going to get that news coverage. Unless you do something to minimize your standing, you're going to continue to get news coverage, which further perpetuates your strong poll numbers. I mean, we're seeing this with Ben Carson in addition to Donald Trump and Carly Fiorina. So, yeah, distinguishing between the two is difficult. They are highly interrelated.
On the one hand, you could say then that, in a sense, these debates don't matter. Michael Brendan Doherty, who's senior correspondent at TheWeek.com, was talking about this in his column a couple of days ago. He said, if you surveyed likely voters and you asked them to hum a few notes from a famous piece of music, the NBC chimes would outpoll Mozart and Beethoven every time. On the other hand, there's this argument that these debates amount to a kind of media anointment of winners and losers before the first vote is cast. So do you think they matter or don't they?
Well, I think that they do matter. It's difficult early on here in September to pick the eventual nominee. We know that a lot of things are going to change. And in fact, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves in these early debates, because another thing that matters to candidates standing in the polls are the actual primaries and caucuses. So that doesn't occur until January. I think there's a lot of posturing now. I think campaigns can make mistakes and try to improve. But just because you're leading in the polls now doesn't mean voters are going to vote for you in January.
I wonder if the people who don't really matter the most, at least at this point in the process, are the people who are part of the mediating institutions. I mean, we're talking about not just the Republican National Committee, but what about the news organizations that come up with rules for entry in these debates? I mean, by basically surrendering their authority to opinion polls during a time when, you know, almost no one's paying attention to the election. I mean, is that right?
Well, I think there has to be something, especially with this large field. I mean, we've always had polls. It's not been that big of a deal because we haven't had 17, 18 candidates. So we've got to have a way. We just can't have that many candidates on a stage. It's going to be even less useful than it currently is. So polling has always driven that. I think if candidates are aware of what the rules of the game are, they need to get their supporters out there to respond to those polls and increase the numbers. Again, it's sort of the self-fulfilling cycle. If you don't get on the main stage, there's a likelihood that you're not going to do well. But even that hasn't really panned out, because Carly Fiorina was in the second tier and now she's in the top tier. So there are those opportunities. I think media organizations are doing a good job of trying to deal with a complicated situation.
Matthew Eshbaugh-Soha is professor and chair of the University of North Texas Political Science Department. Thanks for speaking with us.
All right. Thanks so much.